I reckon it was just a whole lot simpler. Any show of hands for like simpler life when we were a lot younger? And I think it wasn't just because I had a lot less responsibility because I was, you know, a teenager. But it was also because of the way I believed in God. I thought I had so many of the right answers. Things were clearer because there was a lot more certainty. In some ways, this sounds pretty great, doesn't it? But as life goes on, most people realize that life is actually pretty complex, with difficulties such as health challenges, loss of dreams, trauma, relationship breakdowns. We often move away from a black and white way of seeing God and begin to see the beauty of God's presence and power in the grey, in the messiness. We become aware of our brokenness and start asking questions and sometimes even deconstruct our faith and build it again. Certainty is so much easier. But I think it seems to be less sanctifying or less able to help us grow in Jesus' likeness. Describing our faith and relationship with God as facing or being orientated towards Jesus Christ feels authentic, sometimes more so than saying a few special words once in the past that somehow make all the difference. I know many of us here have been on this sort of liberating journey. Last week I talked about our vertical relationship with God and how it is God's initiating covenant of love that results in us being enfolded in God's eternal loving kindness. And not us saying some special words as if to achieve something ourselves. Yes, there is a hope and expectation of response to accept this identity of being deeply loved and to live out of that. But it's crucial that we get the order right, that it's God's initiative of covenanting with us in love and not ours. This messiness in life and faith that we experience can be expressed in the little phrase, on the way and in the fray. You've probably heard me say that before a few times. We are on the way, on the messy journey, together with and towards Jesus Christ. And as our draft covenant partnership wording states, that we are on this journey in both ways known, that we understand and grasp and have maybe a little bit of certainty about, maybe, and yet to be made known. So in both ways known and yet to be made known. We don't have certainty about life, about God, about what being a faithful disciple Jesus looks like in relationship with both God and each other. But as we walk together on the way towards the risen Christ, we trust that we will be led in the ways of God. And Jesus' friend John captured this beautifully in his gospel in chapter 1. And Aaron is going to come and read it for us now. How Jesus, the true word, came into the world, who came into the mess and showed us the way to go and brought light and glory, which was grace filled with truth. So thank you, Aaron.
Morena. It's from John chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. The Word was coming into the world, was in the world, and though the world was made through the Word, the world didn't recognize it. Though the Word came to its own realm, the Word's own people didn't accept it. Yet any who did accept the Word, who believed in that name, were empowered to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor urge of flesh, nor human will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and stayed for a little while among us. We saw the Word's glory, the favour and position a parent gives an only child, filled with grace, filled with truth.
Thank you. The fullest revelation of God and Jesus Christ not only reveals the on the way, but also that God cares about and is with us in the fray, in the mess that comes with being human. And that more specifically comes with being on the way together with fellow pilgrims or travellers with and towards Jesus. So our vertical relationship with God is completely connected with our horizontal relationships with those in God's family, each other, sisters and brothers in Christ. Now, the sister-brother relationships, they're always quite interesting, aren't they? I'm sure some of us could tell some interesting stories about that. Now, I love my brother to bits, but it wasn't always like that. Growing up, we would argue and disagree and fight all the time. I would get just so wound up by him doing these little things just to poke and annoy. I thought they were just so incredibly unfair that everyone needed to know about that. I would have been a delight to have in the house. That black and white way of seeing the world with a high sense of justice was in an immature state that led to me just reacting all the time. A common interest and only being 20 months apart in age also led to lots of competition too. But as we grew up, we developed in very different ways of living and believing. He's a high flyer in finance, wears suits, pointy shoes, and since COVID's hit, he now Zooms with a nice shirt and old shorts. And me? Well, see for yourselves. Anyone else get into pink shirt day this week? I thought I'd rock it this week. Yes, well done, Maddie. Nice, I like that. See that hand? Oh, and Libby. Yep. Whereas I get excited when I discover new things in the Bible that guide me in wisdom and ethical living, he is already living ethically and wisely and doesn't need an ancient book to tell him how to live. So despite being siblings, we're quite different, and I 100% love him to bits. And we as a church also have lots of different beliefs and ways of doing things, don't we? We're like the party mix. We have different shapes and sizes and flavours. We have preferences with the shapes, sizes and flavours amongst us. And with difference, this in the fray, in the, this messiness, as it's not certain or absolute, we are siblings in this. Sisters and brothers with each other and with Jesus through the Spirit. One of the metaphors or pictures the Bible uses for helping us grasp this describes us as the household of God or the family of God. And so Alison's going to come and do a reading for us that says a little bit about that. Thank you.
I'm reading Ephesians chapter 2, verses 17 to 19. Christ came and announced the good news of peace to you who are far away and to those who were near. For through Christ, we all have access in one Spirit to our God. This means that you are strangers and aliens no longer. No, you are included in God's holy people and are members of the household of God.
Thanks, Alison. So I think it's important to say that to describe the church as the family of God isn't saying that it's only people in churches who belong to God or who are acceptable to God, but that these are some of humanity who have awoken to the reality of being enfolded in God's loving, eternal kindness. And just because we're different in many ways doesn't mean we can do what we want, of course. This horizontal covenant means we're deeply connected relationally. Now, our college, Carey Baptist College, have two staff called Andrew Pickard and John Tucker, who some of us might know those names. They've appeared here in different formats. And on this subject of what it means to be this horizontally covenanted, connected people, they and around the concepts of freedom. A few years ago, before this became a really hot topic, they wrote these words. Contemporary Western conceptions of freedom are at risk of distorting the gospel's idea of freedom. Freedom in our contemporary context is understood to be the right of the sovereign individual to choose. The more choice, the less freedom. Oh, hang on. Is that right? That's not right. I must have typed that wrong. Oh, I think you get the idea. The right... Oh, no, what have I done here? Freedom is understood to be the right to choose. The more choice, the more freedom it should be. Where this falls down is that it assumes true freedom is freedom from relationship. The gospel suggests that true freedom is in fact found in relationship with God and God's people. Our lives are not our own, and we do not get to choose the company we keep in the church. God creates the church and calls us to fellowship with God's self and God's people to become who we are in relationship. Among Baptists, this relational dynamic has been expressed in formal church covenants through which church members covenanted together to be God's people, to walk together in all God's ways, and to watch over one another in love. These covenants brought together the vertical relationship with God and the horizontal relationship with one another into a single commitment of faithfulness to God and each other. And so being a part of a church family with each other means that we are to be radically committed to one another in costly, self-giving, messy, covenant love. Now, often in life, things don't go our way. We can either fight or we can flight, can't we? We can grumpily speak up in hurtful ways, or we can slip out and leave and disappear. In the church, people matter, and we are committed to one another. And that looks like working through our disagreements as much as possible. Of course, we'll not all get our own way. That's impossible, isn't it? We can disagree and get along, united by the most important things, and extending grace to one another on less important things. We can love people, but sometimes we might not like them. We can choose our spiritual family. We can't choose our spiritual family, so we choose our friends. That's how the saying sort of goes, isn't it? But that's really countercultural. It's very challenging and difficult, and I think it also brings great depth and meaning to our lives. Because it's a big commitment to covenant together, to watch over one another with love, which is what we're suggesting. Oh, no, I've got the wrong slide up there, sorry. That one there, which is what we're suggesting in this, that one. That's what we're suggesting. As we walk in the ways of Jesus, committing to watching over one another with love. That's the draft suggestion. What's more, it's an incredible example to an increasingly divided and polarized world of how to do life well as we're showing another way of being. A light on a hill, an attractive light because of the way people relate together. It's attractively odd. And I think this is what Jesus is meaning when he says in John chapter 15 that by this the world will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So I'm going to finish up with four short stories, very short, like a couple of sentences, of how I'm seeing something of God's light and love at work through long-term committed, like this covenanted love, long-term committed love and service. So firstly, for 6 years I've been involved in coaching either Aaron or Ezra's football team down the road at Motorola Football Club. And this has led to numerous relationships marked by trust and gratitude, as evidenced by me sort of stepping out a bit of my comfort zone a little bit and inviting some of those that I'm closest to our youth events this year. And lots of them coming, or some of them coming along. I don't think that happens too much in life in Aotearoa. I think that's really cool. So that's just one little example of the long-term committed stuff. But that's outside of the church. So some inside the church examples. We have a fabulous music and play team. Carol, Faye, Heather, Val, Merrill. They give hours of time and energy every Friday to create community for families. People see this team and the love and care they exhibit. And despite past hurts, I've just become aware of that one of them, who is very keen to explore connecting with God and is making contact and getting involved with stuff, which is, yeah, really awesome, eh? It happens through our relationships with one another. So a third one. For years, you've probably heard me go on and on about all these young people from families that we're connected to wanting to join in with stuff we're doing as a church. You know, not Sunday mornings so much, unfortunately, but yeah. But we're known and we're trusted. 24 different young people, I just did an add up, it's not about numbers, but 24 different young people have been at our two programs over the last few days. They're experiencing community. They're hearing about Jesus. And this is only possible because of you, the church, who for 30 years have been involved in and committed in loving each other and serving, which flows out of this love. What's more, recently we've taken some risks. We've stepped out of the boat and through continued generous and sacrificial financial giving are enabling this good work to happen. It's happening because we are partnering with God's good gospel. Through our love and generosity, people are wanting to know and are getting to know this Jesus who loves them so much. And then lastly, at the moment there are numerous new opportunities because of this, because of all the stuff that's happening. You may like to be praying, please, for wisdom and guidance as I head into conversations with Spotswood College about a care for their staff through Christ-centered chaplaincy. Just been asked to come and share with them about that. Two other local schools are wanting Christian youth workers amongst them. So there's opportunities for others, I'm not saying us, others in the wider community to pick something up there. And and this is largely because of some good stuff that's happening here, flowing out of this committed love for one another. And this final thought. Here in Aotearoa, we have the unique and privileged position of already having a grasp of what a covenant partnership looks like. Te Tiriti o Waitangi, as the founding document for Aotearoa, is a covenant partnership between Māori and non-Māori. As a non-Māori, I gained so much through this partnership, through learning about concepts that are really important, like these ones here. Waka whanaungatanga, which is getting to know people, building connections between people. Whanaungatanga, which is more like the glue that holds people together. So it's things like working together and having shared experiences. This stuff's, so important in this loving one another. And manaakitanga, which is extending aroha to others through acts such as helping loved ones, encouraging one another, or even supporting a complete stranger. So these are all expressions of love that build this sort of community that God wants us to. So these well-articulated parts of our country's covenant partnership shed light on how we can be people who initiate and actively care deeply for one another despite differences, who watch over one another in love. They help us know and love one another, which in turn helps us to be like a city on a hill, an attractively odd bunch, known for our love for one another. So that's what I've got to share on the sermon there. Let's think about our heart shapes for a moment and writing something about, something that you love about God's household here, or about somebody, possibly somebody quite different to you. So there's a bit of a space and time to just gather thoughts on what's been said and what's been shared and what's going on inside your head. Or maybe there's something going on that's been triggered in your heart this morning. Might be a question or reflection. So we're going to have time just to, ponder on stuff. Maybe write something down if that's helpful. and then we'll have a chance to talk about that. And we've got a little clip that we've played before. I think it sort of fits really well while this is happening. So if you don't want to do this, there's some stuff up on the screen as well. Thanks.